All right, let's look here over at Romans chapter 10, and I'll start reading here at verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, and that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Glory to God. All right. The idea about this is we're talking about changing your world. And this is part 12. And we are calling this area entering a strong man's house. Let's go to that scripture. Let's go to Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 3. And I'll start reading at verse 22. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils cast he out devils. Now look at me for a minute. Beelzebub means literally Lord of the flies. And you know yourself if you have seen something that's, you know, meat that's been sitting outside or whatever, flies are on it. And in summertime, you fan them away. But if you just wait just a couple of seconds, they seem to come back again. So Lord of the flies, that's what they're accusing that Jesus was, that he was head of all this demonic whatever. In verse 23, and he called them unto him, and he said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. So the devil doesn't stand for any division in his house. He just wants division in your house. Verse 25, and if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. So isn't it the enemy's strategy, one of his strategies, is to bring division, to make a house divided. So one of the things that he does with the church is try to make the church divided. This is, you know, our denomination over here, yours over here, you not saved, we saved, and so forth. Verse 26, and if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Now, over in Matthew chapter 12, it has another rendering of that. Let's go over there, please. Excuse me. And if you look here at verse 29, he says it like this. Or how else can a one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first, what? Bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Now he said that for a reason as well. So we entered into a strong man's house. All right, now this, I just predict in 2012 that the church is going to have a series of battles. But we're going to win every one of them. And that when you're going into a spiritual battle, you need to be spiritual. One of Satan's strategies is to try to keep the church carnal. Okay? Now, when we say that, we mean that for you to stay in that spiritual place, you're going to have to eat on another level. Have to eat on another level. And all you have to do is just really fix your mind to it. You just start thinking that I'm gonna approach this word today, and I'm gonna get something different out of this same passage of scripture. Because I've been reading this with my logical, natural, human reasoning. But now I'm going to read it by the Spirit of God. And when he says, he lays hands on a man's eyes, and he said, what do you see? And the man said, I see men as trees. And then Jesus goes and lays hands on him again. Well, you got to say, what does he mean, sees him as tree? What does this mean? I mean, now, let's not just read over it. Let's eat it. And give the Spirit of God time to really speak to us and use that scripture to either deliver us or guide us. And you got what I'm saying here? All right, so the war really is in the mind. And that's where it's going to be either won or lost, these battles. It's going to be in your mind. And what you have is sometimes you have some Christians who think they can outthink the devil. Remember what I said. Keep Satan in the book and he's defeated. But they won't keep him in the book. The Bible says, forsake not assembling yourselves together with believers. That's what it says here. It didn't say when they assemble together and do praise and worship, you go do something else. See, because when you do that, you're headed off. Because you got to keep him in the book. You got to do exactly what the book says. I don't care how you feel about it, because he wants you to feel something. He wants you to feel I don't know. I don't feel right about this. Well, wait a minute. The book says this. The book says, I don't care what it says. I don't feel. This book says all through here, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Yet you have people saying that baptism in the Holy Ghost is not for today. Hallelujah. That's what's happening, folks. And that's why the church is where it's at. And that's why people are where they're at, because they're being led around by feelings. And the enemy put that ring in their nose and lead them all around town and just keep them hurting, keep them borrowing, keep them broke, sick, mad at people, so forth and so on, all the time, making mistakes. Jesus never made a mistake. Why? He stayed with the book. That's what I do. I don't care what my feelings tell. Most times when I finish on Sunday and I leave this place, the next voice I hear is the devil. He is saying, well, you didn't preach nothing today. Ain't nobody gonna be back next Sunday. You just may as well call everybody and tell you closing the church. Oh yeah, he told me some all kinds of stuff. And I mean, don't mention calling for souls. That's why most pastors don't. That's why you don't see a lot of stuff. People getting saved, so you don't see it. Because when they finish giving the little word that they give, then, and I'm not, you know, disparaging anybody. But when that happens, the enemy starts talking. He somehow tries to break through and get to your mind. Well, don't call for souls now. Don't call, because first, nobody wants to get saved. Next, if you could do call and nobody comes, you're going to be embarrassed. It's going to make you look real bad. So just leave it where it is. And I have found when I feel a certain way, go the opposite way. Does this make sense to you? I'm talking about entering into a strong man's house. Now, he doesn't mind if you stay in the wilderness because you're just going to have just enough, but he works on the principle of containment. He doesn't want you to cross Jordan. Because cross Jordan is abundance. Cross Jordan is influence. It wasn't meant to... that folks be coerced into Christianity. Admit that they'll see something. That demonstration can draw them in. Not some kind of slick sermon. But they'll actually see the power of God that people, wow, man. Are y'all with me? So, I'm just letting you know that even though I'm saved and I'm the preacher, I still have to fight my battles. And you have to fight yours. You can't respond out of the feelings to everything that people say to you. Well, why did you say that to her? Well, I didn't like it. She hurt my feelings. I had to give a piece of my mind. Well, that's probably all you got, but that's what the devil's after. And the thing, once you cross over there, it ain't about feelings at all. Keep him in the book, and he is defeated. Don't go by your feelings. Are you following what I'm saying? Amen. Now, what is my job? My job is really not to get you to have to lean more on me. My job is to get you to lean more on him. See, that's a strong man. That's a spirit. People, you know, you got to have me. No. You got to have him. When you and him fall out, you get me. Okay? Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. See, the only thing I'm doing is taking you to the book. See, because that's where people miss it. They miss the book. They don't know the book. My job is to take you in that book, line upon line, precept upon precept. I could preach you some nice, wonderful, inspirational messages. But what happens when the devil meets you at the door? Now you're going to have line upon line. You're going to have to say, it is what? Written. Somewhere you will have to pull out a scripture. Amen. Look what it says here in Deuteronomy chapter 1. And this is when Joshua. Okay, I'm just checking. Just checking. Wow, there you are. Okay, that's all right. That's better than milk toast. All right, look what it says here. Now understand, in this particular place, Moses has died now. And God has chosen Joshua to go, and that's God's choice. It's not a man's choice. It's God's choice. And so God has chosen this man, Joshua, to now take him on into the land of Canaan. Now understand, they had to wait on the new generation because the old generation wouldn't leave the flesh. And you'll find that that's one of the biggest things God waits on sometimes in people's lives is he waits on an image change on the inside. I put a note down here that, one moment please. That, hold on just a minute. How did I do that? Okay. Here it is. Whatever's in your heart in abundance will dictate the world you live in. Whatever's in your heart in abundance will dictate the world you live in. So God waits on your change of heart. Remember what he said? He led them through the wilderness so that they could see what was in their hearts. Because that is going to determine where you're going to go. Okay. So that's it. I'm getting a book. So if somebody doesn't have a job, I know God wants them to work. Because that's what the book says. So I know if they're being kept out of work, then it must be Satan. So I'm going and I'm going to pray for them to get a job within 7 days. I don't have to wait all whatever have you. If you're a man, you need work. If I'm stepping on your toes, oh, Jesus is in the house. He's a healer now. He'll heal your toes. You don't leave the book. Stay with the book. Verse 3. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now, I'm about to go into this strong man's house here now. From this wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great sea, to the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Now, if you look at this, he is saying here, he's talking about this Mediterranean Sea, and what he's saying here is that Lebanon is on the east side. And Euphrates and all the land of the Hittites is on the west side. So we're going from east to west. And if you know anything about the writing of Hebrew, they don't write from left to right like y'all. But they write from right to left. And it has a meaning to it. That right to left, on the right side is justice and the law. On the left side is mercy and grace. And God is saying, I come in from right to left. See, a lot of times people think that they can just do anything and God will bless it. But God is a God of justice. Oh, I don't want to get into that, boy. That thing is strong, man. You'll find that when people don't understand this side, this law and this justice of God and righteousness is over there, if they don't understand that side and come in from that side, you'll find they come in from this side and it's you know, woo, 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 and everything goes. But you'll find that the fortification against the Hittites is not there when all you know is mercy and grace. You'll find that fear is blocked when you understand righteousness and justice. I teach on vengeance and recompense. How many of you have heard some of that series? And it's interesting, I can teach that, and as I teach it, you can sense the fear of people leave in terms of what the system can do to me. Because it's coming in from that side, it's coming in from justice. And you need to know that God is a just God. His laws, his covenant guarantees you protection. And that in this, I was listening to it this morning at one of the stations. And I said, man, that's some good stuff. But it makes you strong. You know, what you eat can make you weak. Need some strong meat. And this one makes you have a reverent respect for God on this side. And this side is God's mercy and so forth. And we need both of them. The Bible says on this side there's truth and this side is mercy and so forth. And the Bible says Jesus was full of grace and truth. Another place said they kissed together. So I'm only saying that to you to say that understand that in this dispensation, the Holy Ghost is now sent to command vengeance on behalf of all of God's people and sees that nothing shall by any means hurt you. Put something right there. Let's go over to Luke chapter 4. I'm coming right back there, please. See, when you know you're the baddest dude in town, you know, John Wayne. Y'all ever seen him? He walks sideways sometimes. Clint Eastwood with that big stogie in his mouth, that flat hat. I saw they were showing something the other day. I was flipping through channel and they were showing some kind of program. It wasn't a movie, but they were just showing excerpts from it. Clint Eastwood pulled out his gun and shot the guy. Pow! Shot the guy. Another guy said, you shot him and he didn't even have a gun. He said, he should have had one. Oh, that's bad, man. That's bad, isn't it? Should have had one, praise God. The devil should have had a gun because I'm going to shoot him, boy. Ooh-wee! Call them some bad boys, man. Ask my wife, I don't like any weak, watered down Wally Cox movies, you know. Ask her, I'll turn from it in a minute. Turn it! We'll put that up in here. Okay. Want our baby, am I right about her? Well, sweetheart, now this is her. Okay, let me go over there. We gotta be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, you know, I'm not literally talking about shooting anybody. You know, I'm not. That's not my point. My point is that you got to have your hand on the trigger. The devil pulls something, you got to fire a round off, man. You got to, how it is written, pow! No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Another thought coming, pow! See, don't be trying to think the devil away, shoot him away. Just, all right, look, what did I tell you to turn? Luke 4. All right, look at this. You with me? This is Jesus, verse 18. He stood up for to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, so forth and so on. Got it? All right, and then he goes on down, close the book, begin to say, this day this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And he began to tell them about two situations. One situation where he said there was a man named Naaman, and this man so forth, and he got healed. Another one about this widow woman. And this widow woman, these both people were outside the kingdom of God. In other words, he gave them an example out of his scripture of the fact that Israel, who's supposed to be walking in this, were not walking in it. And that people outside of this, God is having to go outside of the children of Israel to make this thing, that this thing would be manifest. And look what it said in verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they had heard these things, were filled with wrath. And they are mad about it. And rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him into a brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he passing through the midst of them went his way. Wow. You get what I'm saying? He passing through the midst of them. Well, how could he do that? See? He could do it because he preached the blessing. He preached that blessing. See, that blessing is a wall. It's a wall. It's a wall of protection around you everywhere you go. I use the word impervious. Come on. Who said that? Come on up here. Come on. I got to get you. I got to dust you off. Here's $100. God bless you. See what you get when you remember what I say? You get blessed. But you get impervious. You can't be penetrated. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit. Angels can send right there. They have an accounts of people who were walking and this guy pulled out this knife and he said, you say that again and I'm gonna stab you. And the Christian said, listen, I don't care what you do to me. I'm going to love you. And every part of me is going to be crying out that says, Jesus loves you. And that guy went, boom, and couldn't hit this man's skin. Could not hit it. And then fell on his knees and cried out for mercy and got born again. Amen. There's a wall. Oh, Lord. There's a wall, folks. But it's interesting about the things of God, for you to get the benefit of it, you got to believe it. You hear what I'm saying? So it's there, your inheritance, but you got to believe what it says. And here's Jesus, and he walks right through the midst of them. Now, it could be several things. He could have walked through there and nobody just would move. They couldn't move. Why? That blessing is controlling it. The blessing is the most powerful thing in the earth. And that's on you, by the way. But it's activated by faith. So they pushed him all the way up to the cliff, but they couldn't push him off. Now he just turned around and just walked right through the midst of them. So how do we say he walked? He walked, maybe some of them saw him. Maybe they were more spiritual minded and could see him. But to the others, maybe he went into a cloaking. Come on now. I'm talking about Star Trek now. Maybe he went, are y'all following what I'm saying? Just disappeared. Where'd he go? Man, wait a minute, he was right here. Where'd he go? Well, that's no different. John chapter 6, where he got in the boat with the disciples, and the moment he got in the boat, immediately the boat was at the land. Now that's spelled out very clearly. Amen. So how did the boat get to the land without going through the paddles? Amen. Didn't need it. Woo. Watch this. I'm about to be on the other side. I got y'all. Y'all ready for it. Let me see this. I'm gonna get saved if he do this. Hey, watch out now. Don't play with me. Don't mess with Bill. You heard that song. No. So, when you're dealing with God and your time in this earth, we are not limited by what others have done. So you got to step away from that, because all of a sudden you've been born again. Well, right there you got the mind, the same mind that created the universe. I really didn't make good grades in school. I didn't say anything about what you made in school. I'm saying now you have the mind of Christ. Now you're able to think thoughts now that you never could think in school, and those in school can't think them. Say amen to that. Man, I was kind of dumb in school. You ain't dumb no more. I mean, this is just the way it is. So receive it. See, God, well, let me go ahead and finish this. But you're going into a strong man's house. So you've got to understand, wait a minute, I'm equipped. I'm going in here and I can't be touched.
All right.
Say amen to that. I'll show you in Numbers 23:23, you can't be cursed. They can't even send out witchcraft and stop it. Say amen. Now, where are you right now? Where are you at? Where are you? Luke 4. Let's just look at this. Turn over to Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7. Now I'm just talking now. You don't mind me just talking a little bit, right? All good. Okay. Now in Exodus chapter 7, he's sitting Moses down there. And verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, "See, I've made you a god unto Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be your prophet." Okay? So I've made you a god to Pharaoh. God made you a god over the situation. If you put something right there and look at Exodus chapter 4 real quick, please. He gave Moses a rod. Look what he said in verse 17. "And thou shalt take this rod in thy hand, and with it you shall do miracles." Why? Because you're not dealing with an intellectual devil. He can outthink you going and coming. I don't care how many degrees you got, how many PhDs you got, and whatever. Doesn't make any difference. He was the anointed cherub that covered the throne of God. Folks, he knows things that you probably couldn't even know in this lifetime. I'm saying the only one that can outsmart him is the Holy Ghost. And that's the only voice we listen to. Exodus chapter 7. God said, "I'm going to send you down there." Look at verse 7. "And Moses was 80 years old." That's 80 years old. "And Aaron 83 years old. And when they spake unto Pharaoh, and the Lord spake unto Moses and said, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you. Then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent." So he did that. And he cast the rod down. Now he's entering into a strong man's house, because he has to go, and he's got to get these Israelites free. That's his mission. This is his defining moment. God has a defining moment in your life, something you've been born for. And so now he's going down here, and even doing all these things up until 80 years old, and now God's calling him. And so now he goes in here, and he said, now Pharaoh is going to ask you to do something to demonstrate power. Glory to God. And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So you need power to defeat the devil. Okay. So what happened is Moses threw his rod down and turned into a serpent. But then Pharaoh called for his sorcerers and magicians and soothsayers, because part of their job is to keep the strong man in place so that people can't leave. He even told them, he said, now listen, I'm not good, because Moses came down there and asked Pharaoh to set him free. And Pharaoh said, what? They must have some free time on their hand. Tell you what, instead of me just giving them, okay, 4 minutes remaining. Okay, all right. And instead of them, don't y'all look. Instead of them, what happened, Pharaoh got angry about it. And instead of them having the Egyptians to get the straw, Pharaoh said, you're not going to only make the bricks, but you're going to get your own straw. Amen. You double the work on them. So you can look at that both ways. You can look at it in the fact that, one, when you come and try to get free, the devil will put something harder on you, trying to make you back off. Say amen. Amen. And folks, that probably happens almost every time. When you're headed for the doorway, he tries to do something to try to convince you, let it go. It won't work for you this time, so forth and so on. That's when you can't go by your feelings. Keep Satan in the book. So what happened then? So now Moses got to bring him out of there, set him free. So he's got to go into the strong man's house. But they're using all kinds of mind control, all kinds of witchcraft, controlling thoughts and so forth. And the people, I mean, he said, go get your own straw. Well, hey, they could have gone to get their own straw. And while they was out there, they could have said, hey. They could have gone. Watch this. But they couldn't think those thoughts. Couldn't think it. So now what happens? He goes down and says, Moses, throw this rod down. Threw it down. He already told him. So now Pharaoh's going to ask for a miracle. Now Moses knew that because Pharaoh was entertained by soothsayers. Just like people watch TV, he watched soothsayers. Okay. So now they came in and threw their rods down. Now this is a power that they're using. And this power that they use, Lord have mercy. Can I keep going here? Now I got, this clock is flashing at me, boy.
No, you have to stop.
You have to stop? Okay, all right.
You have to
So anyway, well, let me run up here and give you this right quick. So come on back over to boy, these women. Let's come on over here. That's my help. Hallelujah. Verse 5, Hittites, notice he only mentioned Hittites in here, in verse 4. Only mentioned Hittites. What are Hittites? They come from the line of Heth, which means terror. Remember, terror is Satan's spiritual weapon. That's his weapon that he uses. It's fear. Fear is a weapon that he uses, and terrorism is a weapon to control your mind. Look what it said in verse 5. And there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I will not fail you, come on, or forsake you. Now, Exodus 23, how was he with Moses? He says, Moses, I'm going to send an angel before you. Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth, Moses, because he will not forgive you. And notice what happened when Moses, he had to always speak God's word. Why? In Deuteronomy 30 and 19, he said, I've set before you life, death, come on, blessing, cursing, come on, choose life. Speak life. Why? Because angels are waiting. They're waiting on the word. Now, you may not see how you're going to get out of it, but you got some powerful boys that are lined up with you. Speak life. And I'm out of time. This woman is something, boy. Y'all didn't get the full dose, right? Devil's telling me I need to give y'all a little bit more. No, he said. Now, did you get something out of that?
Yes.
Now, you are being sent into this world, and God knows it's wicked. He knows it's dark, and you're going to come in with kingdom culture. And you're going to transform every place you go. And the main way you're going to do it is by decree. You're going to decree that this is holy ground. Every devil that's on it, you give it up. And in the name of Jesus, I invoke the name into this place, the power of God, and the atmosphere of heaven to come into this place right here. Bless this place. If you're here and you need to be saved, this is the time to do it. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to pray with you right now, whoever that is, and you know in your life you're not right with God, but you know that you need to be because you're going up against something that the natural man cannot handle. You need Jesus Christ. So if you're here, you say, Pastor, that's me. I need the Lord in my life. Let me tell you, once you come to Him, your sins are blotted out. You got a brand new start. The blood of Jesus goes to work on your behalf, cleansing your conscience from everything that would weigh you down because of the past. I'm telling you, it's a brand new life. I got healed. I got delivered. First place in sales and IBM. Everything happened. Why? Because God has taken you to the top. Whoever that is, God is speaking to your heart right now. I want to pray with you. If you'd like me to do that, here's what I want you to do. Don't be ashamed. Take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair. Come up here and stand with me right here at the altar. And let me pray with you. Come right on.